In Washington, federal housing officials are considering a complaint filed last month that involves the city of Lansing. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is exploring that claim. It suggests that city officials discriminate against low-income minorities by resisting housing projects meant for them. It came after the city council in March refused to grant a so-called pilot incentive to a developer considering a project in Old Town Lansing that would include low-income housing. Opponents of pilots, which stands for payments in lieu of taxes, questions the need for such housing. They also argue that the incentives are depriving the city of much-needed revenue. Mayor Virge Bonaro rallied against the council decision, accusing it of discrimination. And on Friday, current state's Mark Bayshore spoke with city council Councilwoman Carol Wood about the dispute and other issues. Wood voted not to grant the pilot to local developer Sam Sabori. She says she's not clear where the HUD issue stands, but hopes the city attorney's office can learn more.
We're going to have the city attorney's office reach out and see if they can get any additional information on that so that we're able to understand where that is. A pilot, what they do is you take the rent, you back out the utilities, and then you pay a portion of that, which would be 4%, on an annual basis. It doesn't pay school tax. It doesn't pay county tax. It doesn't pay the library. It's just a very small percentage that comes to the city. And when we're looking and hearing over and over again about our legacy cost and trying to make sure that we have enough revenue coming in, four of us on council chose not to support that. Now, the mayor held a press conference after that vote and accused the four that voted against this that of being racist, biased against the poor, and encouraged that a complaint be filed with federal government on that. So that's where we are right now.
Is there a consensus that pilots lower city revenue? I mean, does everybody agree on the impact of pilots?
I think everybody understands that mechanism, all of them on council. Is there a need for affordable and low-income housing? Absolutely. You know, I mean, we know there are issues out there, but I think we also have to be cognizant of what we're doing when we're looking at properties that have an impact of creating additional revenues at market rate rents. I personally would like to see in these projects that not only with a low income, that there is market rate rentals as well, and that that's actually condominiumized, where that would allow us to receive full taxes on those that we're getting market rate on.
You're not an attorney, but you're very experienced in city matters, Carol Wood. How likely is it that the HUD investigation will conclude there was discrimination? Have you thought about that?
You know, I have. I don't believe in my mind that there was any. Do I believe that, you know, just like any complaint, whether it's a police complaint or anything else, has to go through that mechanism? But I think we have to be very careful while we're going through that we don't add anything that would be perceived by the government as the fact that maybe we were being discriminatory. Now, if we had five new projects that came up on the drawing board in the very near future that all talked about market rate housing, could someone then, and we all supported them and they passed, could someone say, well, you're trying to gentrify, you're only looking at those, you're only supporting those projects? That is an argument someone could make. And so I think we just have to be very careful as we move forward during this investigation to make sure that anything that comes before us that we're doing our due diligence on and that we're not creating a hazard for the city.
Do you know who filed the complaint?
No, at this point, we do not. Now, again, I'm anxious for the city attorney's office to reach out and find out what's going on and if they can get any additional information on this.
Mayor Bonaro was very vocal in his criticism about the city council's action here. If the complaint gets dropped, would the mayor lose any credibility?
I don't think so. I mean, again, it's his opinion. Do I think as mayor that that's the way you handle that? Could there have been discussions with council members? Do you go out and hold a press conference and accuse half of the council of things that were blatantly not part of, at least they weren't part of my decision, and I don't believe they were part of the other four that voted against this particular pilot. We were not stopping the gentleman from moving forward. Again, he could have gone for a 10% and applied to MSHDA for that. He chose, he wanted 4%. Also, for your listeners, this abatement isn't a 5-year abatement or a 10-year abatement that they get with this pilot. It's the life of the mortgage. The mortgage on this one would have been 37 years. So for 37 years, we would have only received 4% on that, where everyone else around them is paying full millage, which is 19.75 mils.
We're talking with the Lansing City Council's Carol Wood about HUD's consideration of a so far anonymous complaint alleging that the City Council violated federal law when it denied an incentive for a project including low-income housing in Old Town Lansing. Let's talk about some other business. You've referred to the city attorney. The likely incoming city attorney, Jim Smirtka, has been city attorney a couple of times already. He has to be approved by the city council, of course, but he appears to be respected with a commendable track record. How do you feel about his appointment?
For this appointment, for this particular person, you know, I was very surprised by the mayor's choice. And actually very excited about it. I'd worked with Jim Smirtka from 2000 to 2004. He actually served on council, he served as a city attorney since 1994, and I worked with him as a neighborhood person on different neighborhood issues during that period of time. And he gets it. He understands a role of both council and the mayor. He also understands the fact that there are times you're working for council and you are not relaying all that information to the mayor, and there are times that you're working for the mayor and you're not relaying all that information to council. He understands municipal law. He has, you know, done a number of good things while he was city attorney, and I look forward to the confirmation process next Monday because mine will be a yes vote.
In the past, you've complained here on Current State about all the unfilled job openings the city has had for quite some time, some of them for quite some time. Some of these are in the city attorney's office. Do you think Mr. Smirtka will play a role in speeding up hiring and filling some of these positions?
We understand and have been very cognizant in through our budget process that there are attorney positions open within the city attorney's office, as well as staff, support staff, and anxious to have Mr. Smirtka start the hiring process. We've had some people under contract, and I just think it's important that we get those positions filled so that they're able to service the issues that we as a council and as a community have out there.
Do you think we'll learn the details of the Janine McIntyre severance?
I don't know. To be perfectly honest, council continues to ask questions. I think the most important thing, though, that all members of council have said at one time or another, that they want to see a mechanism in place that council is aware of and knows what's happening before we get into a situation like this again. And that's one of the things that we've asked the city attorney's office to look at, whether it's writing an ordinance or whether it's a charter change that would allow council to be made more aware of what's happening. I know when Virge Bonero first came in as mayor, one of the first things we did was adopt an executive management plan that actually talked about severance pay. That wasn't followed in this process. And those are questions out there that we're asking to try to make sure, why do we pass this policy if it's not followed? And we need to to follow up on that. I'm hoping that when Mr. Smirka takes over, that those are some questions that we'll be able to deal with him.
The Lansing State Journal continues to report about the fact that it has not received documents about the McIntyre severance that it has FOIA'd the city for. And this is another piece of business that, as I understand it, is handled by the city's attorney, city attorney's office. How big an issue is FOIAs and the city's processing of FOIAs?
I think it's extremely important. The reason, I mean, council even has passed a FOIA policy on July 1st of 2015 that we had to submit to the state, letting the public know how we were going to handle those, the timeliness of them, logging them in, making sure departments were able to respond to that. And when you have entities or individuals that are paying for information and they're months out and not getting that information, no response for an extension of the time, those issues are just not acceptable. Government is supposed to be transparent. Part of the FOIA process is to make sure that documents are getting to the public when they're asking those. We understand that there are sometimes issues of privacy, HIPAA, some of those things that are precluded, and we get that. But I think page after page of blacked out information that's passed on to entities that are asking for that with no explanation, it's not good government.
We're talking with Carol Wood of the Lansing City Council. Once Mr. Smirka is on board, which will presumably be July 1st, do you think the FOIA process, do you think the process involving FOIA requests will speed up?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that, you know, that some of the things that he looks at is looking at that. I've heard from Mr. Abood that within a month's time we've had over, you know, 800 requests for FOIAs. I think, you know, part of that is trying to ferret that out. What are those requests? I know in years past there was actually a FOIA officer that handled things with the police department. So the police departments wasn't run through the city attorney's office. They had a legal representative that handled those. Are those what's bogging down the system? Is it the fact that we don't have enough people and support staff and the city attorney's office to follow up on those? We have funded positions that are vacant out there. And to continue to hold these positions vacant when we have taxpayer dollars to put people in those places is not acceptable. We need to move the process along. Yes, we need to make sure that there are qualified people in there. But if you were to look today on the city's webpage and see how many positions are posted, we have two. One for a temporary lifeguard and police positions. We have closer to 100 and probably 60 positions that are open. A number of those on top of that, there are contract people in there that are doing part-time work. And the taxpayers expect more from their dollars.
Carol Wood is an at-large member of the Lansing City Council. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.